Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. Let me share with you, there were three pets that died. There were two dogs and a cat. And they all go to heaven, and they're sitting there before God as he sits on his throne of judgment. And he looks down at the three pets and he says to them, I want to know what you believe. So the first dog comes forward and the first dog says, I believe in discipline, training, and service to my master. And God says, well done. Come and lay down at my right hand. Then he looks at the second dog and he says, tell me what you believe. And the second dog says, I believe in discipline, training, and love and protection of my master. God says to him, well done. Come and take your place laying down by my left hand. Today I want to continue talking about the devil at our door. And I want to be absolutely clear. I'm not doing that in any way to glorify the devil. I'm not trying to make us afraid of the devil. But I think it's important for us to look at the devil's playbook so that we know how to handle temptations that come in our lives, right? You know each and every one of us are in a battle, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are in a battle against spiritual forces of wickedness. And I want you to know the ways that God tries to tempt us. Last time we talked about pride, and this is really close to it today. But today I want to talk about the weapon that God uses, and that weapon is control. Control. I want to use this seat as a throne, as a symbol. And the symbol of this is that each and every one of us has a throne in our lives. And the question that's fundamental is who sits on your throne? Who sits on the throne of your life? Now, let me let you in on the devil's playbook. The devil doesn't say, you know what? Kick God off the throne and place me on the throne. No, he's too subtle for that. He knows most of us won't go for that. So instead, this is what he says, especially in times of stress or when things aren't making sense. He says, you know what? Kick God off the throne and put you on the throne. Hey, you should be on the throne. It isn't that in his playbook that he uses time and time again? Think back to Eve. He says, eat this forbidden fruit and you can be like God. Go to the Tower of Babel, right? They're building this great tower. You can reach the heights of heaven. You can be God. Think about in the Old Testament. It says, and everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. You don't need to listen to God. Whatever you think, you can be God. The truth is, we all have issues with control. We all do. Now, the church is a time of a place for confession. So I'm going to give us an opportunity to exercise confession. If you have an issue with control, please raise your hand. Keep them raised. If you are busy trying to raise the hand of the person next to you, then you've got a control issue, okay? If you're sitting there like this saying, I'm not going to raise my hand no matter what he says, you've got a control issue. You can put your hands down. What I'm trying to say is the fundamental question of our lives is one that includes this. Mark, would you help me out with it? Who will be what? In control of our lives. It's a fundamental question. Who will be in control of our lives? Let me remind you of what our scripture lesson says from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That word acknowledge, another word that's used in other translations and similar, is submit. And we talked about submit just last week, right? And submit, it means to voluntarily rank yourself under someone else. It means to say, you know, I'm not thinking less of myself. I'm just thinking more of you. Submit means to say, I am going to voluntarily place you over and in charge of me. I am the servant and you are Lord. And when we do that, it says that he will make our path straight. Now, it doesn't say that he's going to make our path easy. Elaine, you with me? Huh? Mr. Jordan, you with me? It doesn't mean that there's not going to be hills, that there's not going to be challenges, but it means that it'll make our path straight. And sometimes when I think about that, what does that mean? It means that there will be direct purpose and there's going to be promise within our lives. As difficult as that might be, God's got a purpose and a plan for us. And when we obey, when we trust in him, he makes that plan straight in our lives. But here, I think, is a challenge. Let me place a challenge on you, is sometimes we get into this power struggle with God, and we wrestle and try to direct our own path. And I want to say this, the more we fight for control, the more afraid we are of what? Losing it. I don't know if you can check that picture out, but anybody know what's going on in that picture? They're fighting over the what? Remote control, right? And some of us, we are fighting so hard to control our lives that we're really wrestling with God, and it's a spiritual issue. It's not just an issue that we're dealing with as we're wrestling with flesh and blood. I think a perfect example of this is in the Old Testament. Sarai and Abram were made a promise by God, and later on their names were changed from Sarai and Abram to what? Sarah and Abraham, right? And I think that there are, in some ways, perfect examples of people who trust and place God on the throne. Because God said to Abraham, go to the land that I will show you, okay? Go to the land that I'll show you. I'm not telling you, I'm not drawing a map for you yet, but you go and then I'll tell you, right? Go to the land that I show you and I will make of you a great nation. You'll be the father of many. And Abraham hears this. And Sarah hears this, and when Sarah hears that she's going to be a mother, what does she do? She laughs. Why does she laugh? Because she's old, right? She's like Jan McDougal's age. I mean, Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry about that. She's old. She hears his promise. She's like, no way. And we're like, no, seriously. God's like, seriously, this is a promise I'm making to you. And so she's like, okay. So she waits a day. Still not pregnant. She waits a week. Still not pregnant. She waits a month, month after month, and she's still not pregnant. Nothing. And so when God's promise doesn't come in her timing, when what she thinks is the right time, she decides to say, hey, God, why don't you just scoot on over here? And let me sit down and take control for a minute. And look at what the scripture says happened. It says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So what she said is, hey, why don't you go and sleep with Hagar? Have a baby. And if God won't give me one, I'll take one for myself. Now let me ask you a question. How do you think that turned out? Good or bad? So Hagar has a baby with Abraham, right? And very soon after, surprise, what happened? Sarah gets pregnant. She gets pregnant, and all of a sudden, she's going to have a baby as well, Isaac. And so let me just draw a little line of what happens. So here you have Hagar, who has a son named Ishmael. And Ishmael's descendants are the people that are called Muslim. And from them comes Muhammad that they follow. Then on this other line, you've got Sarah, and Sarah has a son named Isaac, and Isaac's people are the Jews, and from the Jewish people, you get Jesus, right? And guess what? These two families have been in conflict and strife for thousands of years, to the point where it affects us today. The decisions that were made to take control and to sit on the throne and say, no, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me take control. They have long-lasting effects. Now, guess what? Let's not be too harsh on Sarah, right? Because it's easy for us to see Sarah and to trace down the lines, right? But sometimes it's harder to see in our own lives. What decisions have we made where we said, you know what, forget that, God? I'm taking control. When have we said, okay, God, I don't need you to be in the driver's seat. You just be a backseat driver. I'm going to take over. Maybe for us it's in our finances. And we say, you know what? I know I need to do things differently. I know I'm supposed to give, but that just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm going to take over and I'm going to do it my way. Or maybe it's with an addiction, with pills or with alcohol. And we think in our mind, we think, you know what? I absolutely know that I can't take that drink. I absolutely know I can't drink take that pill. But maybe this time it'll be different, huh? And so I'll just sit in the seat of control. And this time, instead of it taking control of me, I'll take control of it. How's that going to work out? It's not. Or maybe it's even with our families. And we try to control and rule our families. Have you ever heard of something called helicopter parents? Anybody ever heard of helicopter parents? They call them helicopter parents because they do what? They hover over the kids, and you know, kids 15 years old, and parents are cutting the meat for them still on the plate, you know. I read a recent survey, and it said, this is not even a joke, this is true. It said that 8% of recent graduates, when they went for their first job interview, took their parents with them to sit in on the job interview. Now I said, what? That's crazy. When I interviewed for this job, my mother drove me, but I made her sit in the car, okay? I put my big boy pants on. I'm handling this myself. Comes a time when we've got to begin to look at the areas that we try and control. And so I want to help us today. I want to ask three questions when it comes to those issues and we get tempted to take control. And the first question is this. Is it what? Worth it. Have you ever heard that you got to pick your battles? Pick your battles. Sometimes we are struggling to control an issue that it's not even worth it. We're getting so upset. They tell me in leadership classes that either you can have growth or you can have control, but you can't have both. Because if you try to control everything and micromanage it, then your people will never grow stronger. You'll never allow them to do anything. And you'll always say, well, if they can't do it in my way, then I'll just do it myself, right? Maybe it's an issue with our relationships. And I've heard that you can either have control or you can have intimacy, but you can't have both, right? If I'm going to try to control you and you can't go here, you can't do this, and I'm going to intimidate you, I'm going to bully you. I might have control, but I won't have your intimacy. I won't have you trusting me to give me your full self because you're afraid that I might disappoint you in some way. So you got to ask the question, is it worth it? And then here's another question that we need to ask. Is it mine to control? Is it mine to control? Sometimes the answer, surprisingly, is yes. There are some things that God places in our life that God wants us to be in charge of. You know, we are called to be stewards, and that means that God has blessed us with everything in our life, and we get to make decisions about how we're going to use those resources. But ultimately, who does it all belong to? Belongs to God, and we've got to think not with our mindset of ownership, but a mindset of stewardship. How can I best serve my Lord with what I do? There are decisions between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about relinquishing responsibility. I don't have to do anything. You know, you wake up Monday morning, okay, I'm not going to go to work. The boss calls me. Why didn't you show up for work? Well, I went to church on Sunday, and Pastor Joe let God handle it all, so, I gave him my job. I'm not going to do anything, right? Or we don't have any money in the bank. Well, I'm going to go to Kohl's on my Kohl card, and I'm going to charge everything I want, and you know what? Pastor said, give it to God, and, you know, that's a smart thing to do, right? No. That's relinquishing our responsibility. That's not being the good steward set that God called us to be. God is ultimately in control, and yet there are things in our life that God places for us to do. If you need more money, spend less, save more. If you're not in a good relationship with your spouse or significant other, admit what you've done wrong, draw closer to one another, and pray for one another. If things are working out with the kids, pray for them, set an example to them, and reach out to them in love. If you're a young man and you want to date somebody but you can't find someone, brush your teeth, comb your hair, put on a brand new shirt, okay? There are things that we are responsible to do, you know. It's not all on God. Don't blame God for everything. And then the last thing I want to say is this, that there is some things that are for God alone. And you need to ask that question. Is this for God alone to handle? I want you to listen to the words of Paul as Paul is in prison in Rome. And Paul, you got to think about this. He's in jail as he's writing this. Not only is he in jail, but he's chained to a guard. And he writes this. Be anxious about what? Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Can you read that with me? Be anxious about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, prayer is important. Prayer matters. Prayer changes things. And too often we look at prayer as, man, we're done. It's all over. The only thing we can do now is just pray. The first thing we can do is pray. The thing we get to do is pray. We're blessed to be able to pray. We're blessed to be able to go before the throne of God. And he lends his ear towards us. And he hears our prayers. I mean, it's a blessed thing. We went to jail ministry on Thursday. And, it was a really great time. So we're up there at jail. And the congregation, which were all inmates, were gathered before us, and we have a time where we go around and they share prayer requests, and each of them says their name and what they're praying for or they're thankful for. I didn't hear one of them say, I pray that God gets me out of this jam because I don't deserve to be here. Not one of them. But here's what they said. I thank God for all my brothers that are here. Right? I thank God for the lessons to be learned while I'm here. I thank God for being with me each and every day. I thank God for the blessing of being able to worship God even in this place. And all of a sudden, it begins to change my attitude when I hear people that are in prison, just like Paul was when he wrote those words about being anxious about nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I get to pray. I get to go to church. You know what? Tomiko, weren't they upset? Half the block didn't get to go to church, and they were upset that they couldn't go to church. Let the wind blow. And we're like, I don't know if I can make it to church. The wind is blowing. Now, I'm not belittling that. But it really makes us think, you know. We take for granted the opportunities that God blesses us with. So here's what happens. In order to go to Marion County Jail, if you are not a guest like we were to go and then get to leave, but for everybody else that goes to Marion County Jail, you know what you have to do? First of all, you got to stop running, right? Then you have to surrender, right? And then you have to give up everything that you've got on you, right? You got to give it to somebody else's control. Guess what I started thinking? The same thing happens in our relationship with God. There comes a point when we've got to stop running. We've got to stop and we got to surrender and say, okay, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm appearing. And then I give up what I have. It's no longer mine. It belongs to him. My buddy Al, I talked to Al Edavine, and he says to me, he says, you know, every morning that I wake up, I say, okay, God, here I am. Here's my hands. What are you going to use them for? Okay, God, here's my mouth. How are you going to direct me, Lord? Okay, here's my feet. Let me find a pathway so that I might be used by you. And you know what I'm thinking? That's excellent. That's something we should all be thinking about. Here's my brain, Lord. Let it be filled with your thoughts. Here's my eyes, Lord. Let me see the needs you want me to see. Here's my mouth. Let me speak the words that you would have me to speak. Here's my heart, Lord. Let it break for the things that breaks your heart. And all of a sudden, that reminds me a little bit about putting on the whole armor of God, right? the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girding your loins with truth, and feet that are ready to run with the gospel of peace. And hear this, when we do, when we surrender, when we submit, when we acknowledge, let me just share with you the next part of this scripture. It says, read it with me, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we surrender, it's not, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. But we have a peace that passes all of our understanding. That even in the prison, we can give thanks. That even in tough times, we can glorify our God and say, He is with me. There was three pets that died. Two dogs and a cat. And they all appeared before God on the throne of judgment. God says, I want to know what you believe. First dog comes forward. First dog says, I believe in discipline, training, and loving my master. God said, well done. Come and lay down at my right hand. He says to the other dog, I want to know what you believe. And the dog says, I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my master. And God says, well done. Come and lay down at my left hand. And then God looks at the cat. God says, I want to know what you believe. And the cat said, well, I believe you're sitting in my seat. The fundamental question of our life is a question of control. Who sits on the throne of your life? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen.